I'd ask you to please turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 1. And that is page 631. 631. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now Psalm 23 provides for us wonderful truths to strengthen and support us on the most important journey of our life. That is our spiritual journey. Because our spiritual journey finds its ultimate destination if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. Its ultimate destination is none other than to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to be ultimately in glory. Now, this morning, we have the privilege of witnessing a young believer setting out on this most important journey of life. But Bethany not only needs a Savior who has brought her to this very point this morning to witness before you of her faith in the Lord Jesus, but she needs the Lord Jesus to guide her now, to protect her, to teach her, to correct her at times, to comfort her, to care for her as her shepherd. And every believer, everyone who follows the Lord needs this shepherd, needs to know this shepherd, needs to know the Lord Jesus to truly follow him. And so this morning, my thoughts have been led to consider something of the wonder and the beauty of the Lord as my shepherd. You see, the power and life of Psalm 23 is found in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit's focus upon the shepherd. That's where it all begins. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the focus. It's not upon us. It's upon the Lord Jesus as the shepherd. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit knows that the spiritual welfare of the sheep and the lambs, like Bethany, is dependent upon the shepherd. A shepherd who will care, and sometimes a shepherd who will have to carry the lambs in particular experiences in life. And so we need, at such a time as this, to remind ourselves of the significance, of the benefit, of the wonder, and of the all-sufficiency and the beauty of the Lord as our shepherd. The Lord, then, is my shepherd. Now, you will notice in your Bibles that the word the Lord is printed in capital letters. The Lord is printed here in capital letters. Now, whenever that occurs, it represents the word Jehovah. And such was the awe and the reverence that the Jews had for the name Jehovah, they used to put another word in there to substitute for it. And only once a year was it pronounced, and that on the Day of Atonement by the high priest, and only was that name pronounced in the Holy of Holies. And the name Jehovah refers to God as being the eternal, self-existent, I am. I am. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who said and who is the I am, together with the Father and the Spirit. It's who Jesus is. I am the Good Shepherd, and the Lord is my shepherd. So how is it that David can open this psalm by saying, the Lord is my shepherd? Because he is claiming here a personal relationship with the eternal, almighty I am. And that is the significance of the believer's relationship with God. We have a personal relationship with the I Am, the Almighty, the Eternal God. And the answer to this personal relationship lies in how this psalm is specifically directing our minds to God, our Savior, as our Shepherd. We can know God. We can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus the Son. We come to the Father through Jesus the Son. We can know an spiritual experience of knowing God by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Oh, but here this morning, the specific reference, the focus is upon the Lord Jesus as the Shepherd. Oh, we know that this psalm undoubtedly includes blessings which flow from the triune God. But the main focus here is upon Jesus Christ, Jehovah, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, the Shepherd of the sheep. He is the one then through whom we have a personal relationship with God, the Father. He is the one who in God's wisdom has been given the role as the shepherd of his people, the one who will guide us and direct us and land us finally in heaven. Well, he is described in this psalm by the famous preacher F.B. Meyer as Jehovah Jesus. Jehovah Jesus. See, so often, friends, we have such little views of Jesus. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, we sing that sometimes as children, and sadly as Christians, when we get older, we don't seem to rise much above gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But do we not know he is Jehovah Jesus, the Almighty God, the second person in the Trinity? This is the shepherd. This is the authority of the shepherd. And the commentator Gill, he describes him in this verse as Jehovah the Son, Jehovah Jesus, who is equally God with the Father and the Spirit. And Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the one to whom David is looking to here by faith as the shepherd of his people. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, in gaining spiritual comfort from this verse this morning, as we seek to encourage a new believer as they set out on their pilgrimage with life before them, we trust, well, we can be encouraged this morning by one absolute fact. This is God's guarantee this morning, that God, the great I Am, the Eternal One, the Creator of the universe, the God of heaven and earth, condescends to be the shepherd of his people, to be with them in all the experiences of life, the difficult times, the joyous times, the times of gain, the times of loss. This shepherd, the Lord Jesus, he's going before you. He leads us. He's going before us. He's, as it were, one step ahead of you in all the experiences of life. And based on this wonderful truth this morning, the believer comes and says, by faith, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior and God, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, one of the secrets to getting a real comfort out of this psalm is not to focus on ourselves, not to begin with ourselves, but to focus on the glorious and worthy attributes of this wonderful shepherd. He is worthy this morning of your complete and absolute trust. No one else's. Only the Lord Jesus. Only God, the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But in our spiritual pilgrimage here, as we walk here upon this earth, God the Father has so given Christ the authority to be the very shepherd of his sheep. And I want to turn together to some references in Scripture to develop this essential point. I want to encourage you this morning to greater faith in the Lord Jesus as your shepherd. Well, we read in Scripture, He is the suffering shepherd. He is the sacrifice shepherd. The Word of God says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We are wandering sheep without God in our lives. We go this way and that way. We try this pasture and that pasture. And we remain unfulfilled and unsatisfied. And we've gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That is what the Bible says about us. This is what God says about us, our true state by nature. But a most remarkable thing has happened. The same God, the Lord God the Father, has laid upon him, the Lord Jesus, all the iniquity of our wanderings. He has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And all those who truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all our wanderings, all our sin, our guilt, has been laid upon God the Son as Jesus the God-man upon Calvary's cross. The Father has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He has been, our guilt has been put on the shoulders of Christ. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Oh, you're coming to trust and to follow a one who suffered for you, one who's died for you. But not only that, this shepherd has risen again from the dead. He's the glorious shepherd. The apostle, in the apostle Paul in Hebrews, towards the end, he says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that great shepherd of the sheep. Oh, don't let Satan tempt you into thinking that Jesus is little and not sufficient for you. He's Almighty God. He's the great shepherd. And don't let Satan tempt you into thinking that Jesus is dead. He's alive. He's in heaven. He's at the Father's right hand. He's the risen shepherd. He's the shepherd that's died. And he's risen again. But then he is the compassionate shepherd. We read that while here upon earth, Jesus saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them. But what was the heart of his compassion? Why was Jesus moved with compassion? Because he said they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The first thing that Jesus did, when he looked upon this flock and saw that they were as sheep without a shepherd, was to teach them from the Word of God. And that's so important for us. And as God shows compassion on us through God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the ways in which he ministers to that our need is to teach us from the Word of God. He began to teach them many things. And one of the first things we have to learn as a lamb, and as we're growing up into the Christian life, one of the very first things that Jesus will teach us is that we are utterly dependent upon him. See, what happens is, and it happens all through the history of the church, that when a person follows the Lord Jesus, very soon afterwards, Satan always tempts them to backslide, or to do something silly, or to do something which will bring a shame upon their testimony. This is the cruelty of Satan. But in God's permissive will, he allows Satan to tempt us. But Satan does it for evil. But God permits it for good. That we come to this point and we realize, oh Lord, I need the shepherd. He's not only saved me, but that's not enough. I need this shepherd to lead me and to guide me and to teach me. And sometimes I need him to carry me. I feel so weak. Look, I'm so vulnerable to Satan. And we cry out to the Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, carry me. Carry me. He began to teach them many things. And there are many things we have to learn in this pilgrim journey. But the first lesson we need to learn is our utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus. There is a story of a shepherd in Wales, and he had a lamb that was standing on a ledge, and it was jutting out the side of a mountain. And a walker passed by, and he saw the shepherd looking at the lamb, and he said, why are you not rescuing it? And the wise and compassionate shepherd said, I have to wait until this little lamb is so weak and helpless on the ledge, because if I try and rescue it now, it'll try and do something itself, and it will jump off the ledge and be killed. But when the lamb finally lay down on the ledge, in complete dependence upon the shepherd, so weak, then the shepherd gently lowered himself, and he picked up his precious lamb, and he carried it back to the field, and he fed it, and he strengthened it. And so this is something we need to learn. One of the many things we need to learn, but we're thinking about a new believer here. And one of the biggest lessons to learn is dependence upon the shepherd. For our safety, the good shepherd comes to save us when we realize our total dependence upon him. When we cry out to him in our weakness and helplessness. But you might say this morning, well, this is the great, the almighty Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth. Is he willing to condescend to take notice of little me? Yes, because the scripture says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and he will carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead those who are with young. He will gently lead them, dear friends. This is our shepherd. He has the greatness of gentleness. But then, he is a finding shepherd. There are times, sadly, when not only do we realize our dependence, sometimes we sadly go the wrong way in our Christian life and we get lost. The Lord Jesus Christ said, he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, primarily that is referring to the unbeliever who's lost in the world. And he comes to save them. That is who he's come to save. To seek and to save that which was lost. And that's a wonderful truth. But there are times in our spiritual pilgrimage when we need that shepherd to seek us out again. And to come and find us. We've got into a difficult place. And he hears us, as it were, as a lamb bleating. And as a child of God, we're crying. And he will come. And he will seek us out to save us from our enemy, the devil. But then, he is not only the finding shepherd. He is also the knowing shepherd. He knows all about you. He understands you. He understands all about your life pathway. He not only understands about the past, the present, but the future, dear friends. He knows what's before you. He knows all about you. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. They listen out for God speaking to them through his word. And I know them. I know them intimately, lovingly, compassionately. And they follow me because of this. Why do we follow the Lord Jesus? Because we trust him. We believe in him. We believe he really is kind. He really is compassionate. He really is understanding. He really is meek. And we meet people that disappoint us and they are not what they should be. And we need to look to this Lord Jesus. And in the end, God overrules and brings us to this point. It's the Lord is my shepherd. You know, there was once a boy, a young boy, and he was coming up to Sunday school prize giving, and his commission was to recite Psalm 23. And he was very pleased with this. He felt quite proud about this. And he thought, I can easily do this, I've got a good memory. But as it happened, he couldn't memorize anything hardly, and he really, really struggled. He didn't know what to do. So he's a very honest young man, and he stands up the front eventually and said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's enough for me. Well, it's true though, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, and it's enough for me. You know, friends, we have to come to this point when we just say, it's the Lord who's my shepherd. And if he's my shepherd, I shall not want. And the wonderful thing about this shepherd, there's coming a day, the end of the world, the great day of judgment. And many think that we are reaching the end times. And I personally would not disagree with that, but only God knows when it's going to be the last day of this world. But there are signs, and the church is facing increasing persecution as it was prophesied. But there's coming a day when the chief shepherd will appear. And you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. That is what the chief shepherd is going to do. That's what this kind shepherd is going to do. This is what this suffering, sacrificed, risen shepherd is going to do. He's the chief shepherd, and he has the authority to give every one of his followers a crown of glory that does not fade away. So we must ask ourselves, though, this morning, this vital question. You may say, yes, I believe that Christ is indeed the great, compassionate, and chief shepherd. But are you taking a step further this morning saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I trust in him. Oh, have we responded to his voice? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The voice here is the call of the gospel, where the Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the call of the shepherd to you this morning. And he calls you just as you are. You don't have to take an exam or do anything marvelous. You just have to come just as you are. To know his voice means to respond to the gospel, to respond to his invitation, to respond to his come, to realize that you are heavy laden, and to come just as you are. There were two shepherds who came together in the middle of the road, and they each had about 300 sheep each. And all the sheep all became one group. They all intermingled together. And this tourist was watching from afar, and he was fascinated. Well, what's going to happen now? All these sheep are mixed together. Well, who knows whose is which? They all look the same to me. And then one of the shepherds decided he'd finished his conversation, and he gave a call. And half the sheep just followed him. And the other sheep remained with their shepherd. They knew the shepherd's voice. And to respond to his voice means to respond wholeheartedly to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means this morning that you will really, really repent of your sin. You will come to the Lord Jesus and you will say, Lord, I know I've sinned. I know I've broken God's law. I realize that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm sorry. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to save me, to forgive me, to rescue me. And it is my desire that God has given to me to follow you, the Lord Jesus, and I submit to you as the Lord of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, this is a statement of faith which can be taken as being confident in the will and wisdom of the shepherd. And the shepherd will provide for my needs according to his good knowledge, both spiritually and providentially. Sometimes there's times in our life we don't understand why a provision has not been made for us, and it troubles us, and it does trouble many people, and it's understandable, it does. But always remember, the Lord is your shepherd, and he knows, and he's doing what is best for you. And there'll come a time in glory when it will all make sense, and you will see with that emancipated mind, and you'll see Jesus as he is, and you'll say, I know now. I didn't know on earth. I just trusted. I didn't know. I didn't understand, but I just trusted. But now I do know, because I see Jesus as he is, and I look in his face, and I see such tenderness and wisdom and care and compassion and love and grace. And as I enter into eternity and my mind is emancipated and I see truths I've never seen before and I have a deep understanding of the sovereignty of God and I see it's all for God's glory, and perhaps I've been chosen by God for a particular pathway that God might be glorified in a way beyond my recognition. And so faith runs to this haven this morning and says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a belief in the good shepherd's guarantee of his provision to his sheep. And so the statement, I shall not want, is not only faith in the shepherd's guarantee of provision, it's a statement of loyalty and submission to what is the shepherd's wise provision for us in life, whatever that might be. You remember how the children of Israel in the wilderness, they complained about the provision of God, and they said, our soul loathes this bread, this light bread you've given to us, this manna. We're tired of it. This miraculous provision. We want something else. And we read how the Lord was very displeased, and he sent those fiery serpents, and they bit the people, and many people died under the judgment of God. And the people realized this, and they came to Moses, and they said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord, and we have spoken against you, and we pray unto the Lord for us, intercede for us. And the roses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. And so it is this morning. The only way to live, the only way, is the Lord is my shepherd, is to look to him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, dear friends, consider him. Well, by faith may we say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything beyond what God permits for me. I shall not want anything that hinders my spiritual life. I shall not want anything that gives me a sense of independence from my shepherd. I'm going to say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And this morning, as we encourage dear Bethany in her journey through life as a young Christian, this verse is full of hope. none other than the Lord himself as my shepherd. I cannot think of a better verse to encourage Bethany than in this one this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.